Welcome to the Quotivation Podcast. Together, we will unlock inspiration one quote at a time. Your host is one of America's top emerging public speakers. He is a former semifinalist in the World Championship of Public Speaking and is an expert motivator. Please welcome Jody Powell.
Welcome to another edition of the Quotivation Podcast, and I am so excited for you to be here, and I hope you've had a wonderful weekend and you are ready to win your week. And I'm so excited too because I received so much good feedback from our 10th episode. If you haven't listened to it, go back and listen. It is a celebration of a milestone. 10 episodes is a big deal, right? It's just 10. It's not that big of a deal. Of course it is. And we should celebrate all of our wins, big wins and small wins alike. And I'm really excited because of the incredible feedback that I received, not only from my special guest that we had on in the first 9 episodes, but from a lot of you about celebrating wins and being intentional in recognizing those moments, big or small, that are impactful and meaningful. And it was meaningful to me. And I got a lot out of that, and I'm excited that you did too. And I hope you found something in last week's episode that helped you remember those 9 powerful quotes that were brought in, and 10th one that I was able to introduce. And I hope you were able to win your week because of one of them, because of all of them, or because of something you heard on last week's episode. But that's what we want for this week's episode, as we enter into another 10 episodes. As we get ready to begin this one, our 11th episode, I hope you find something today that's going to help you look forward, win your week, because we're going to have a fantastic show today with a very special guest that I'm excited about. So as we get going, as we get started, we're going to start this episode like we do every episode, and that is with a shot. We're going to take a shot of motivation, and our shot of motivation is, of course, sponsored by The Real Deal in all things mortgage, Amy Real. With Cross Country Mortgage, Amy absolutely can help you with whatever mortgage questions, concerns, or problems that you might have. She is the real deal, folks, when it comes to mortgage, when it comes to all things mortgage. So if you need help with a first or second mortgage, maybe it's a refinance, maybe it's a mortgage on an investment property, whatever you need, give Amy a call today. Tell her you were Quotivated to get your mortgage deal done. Her phone number is 864-310-9337. That's 864-310-9337. You can email her at amy.real, R-E-I-H-L, at ccm.com. Amy Real, the real deal in all things mortgage. Amy's NMLS number is 486-620. And as always, thank you, Amy, for your continued support. The Quotivation Podcast. What do you say we get to it? Let's go take a shot. A shot of motivation.
It's time for a shot of motivation, where the vibe's like taking a shot, but the high is pure inspiration. This is a quick, powerful boost of motivation to fire up your spirit. Get ready for a rapid infusion of uplifting stories, impactful quotes, and game-changing ideas. It's the swift, potent dose you need to amp up your game and win your week. It's a shot of motivation.
I remember hearing this story of a man who was a guide for people that wanted to ascend Mount Everest. And as a guide, he would work with groups to prepare them for the journey, to get them ready for the challenges that lay ahead. He would give them cardio routines to do, getting them in shape and prepared for the physical toll that it's going to take on their body. He would give them nutrition plans to maximize the benefit of the lung capacity, of the endurance, of the ability for the body to withstand the external forces that they're going to face as they climb Mount Everest. There was one particular group that he had pulled together And on the night before the ascent, they always go out and have a pre-ascent dinner. And they went to dinner and they were able to eat whatever they wanted after going through this nutrition plan and all of this rigorous training and cardio. And they were already celebrating. They were celebrating the fact that they were about to go on this journey. And the guide stopped them and he said, "I have a question for each one of you here at the table. What is the goal for the journey that we begin tomorrow?" And they went around one by one, and each participant that was part of the group gave the same answer: to make it to the peak of Mount Everest, to get that selfie, to get that photo, to take this memorial that I have of a family member that's passed. I want to take it to the top of Everest and get a picture of it there. We all want to achieve the feat of climbing the tallest mountain in the world. To say that we were able to climb Mount Everest. That is the goal. And he listened one by one as each person gave the same answer. And when they finished, he just shook his head. He said, "No, you're all wrong. That is not the goal of the expedition. The goal of the expedition is to survive." You could hear a pin drop at the table. The drinking, the celebrating, the laughter all ceased with the harsh reality of the danger they were about to face. They were confronted with the real goal that they were trying to achieve, to survive the expedition. And he looked at them and he said, "Did you know more people die descending from Everest than ascending to Everest? You want to get to the top, that's great. But you need to understand something. That is only half the journey. And if experience tells us anything, it's the safer half." Suddenly, there was a new perspective about the expedition among the group. No longer was it about the glory of reaching the peak. They were truly focused on doing the things that needed to be done to make sure that when the expedition was over, they were still alive. It's an interesting lesson to think about. Oftentimes, we are tempted to take our eyes off of what the goal truly is for a project or for our lives or for our careers or for our children or for our families. We take our eyes off the prize of what the goal really is and focus on the glory that comes along with success. And suddenly, the glory becomes the goal. The group wanted to climb Mount Everest. They wanted to get the picture. They wanted to be able to say, "I was on top of the world." They wanted the glory. And they took their eyes off the fact that in order to obtain the glory, they were going to have to risk their lives. What's more important, a selfie or making it out alive? Survival was the goal. The selfie was the glory. So what things are you facing this week that have a goal, but also have a glorification aspect to it? Don't take your eyes off the goal. Don't focus on the glory. Let the glory come as you complete the goal. Because if you complete the goal, if you stay focused and you do the things that you're supposed to do and you reach the goal, the glory will come with it. But you can't have the glory without reaching the goal. It would have done no good for them to climb Mount Everest, take all of these selfies, to say that they reached the top, only to perish as they descended from the peak. No, the goal was not to reach the peak. The goal was to survive. Focus on your goals this week. Focus on the things that will move you forward, that will accomplish what you're trying to do, instead of the accolades that come along with what you accomplish. Because when you accomplish the goals, when you reach the bottom of the mountain safely, the glory of making it to the peak will be there. And you'll be able to celebrate. You'll be able to celebrate not only the fact that, yeah, you made it to the top, but more importantly, you made it back down. You survived to tell the story. Focus on your goals this week, and you'll win your week. And that's all we're trying to do. Win our week, and I hope you are able to win yours. That's your shot of motivation for this week. I want to thank Amy Real, the real deal in all things mortgage. You want to climb that mountain that is the mortgage process. You need a great guide to help you do that. And that great guide up that mortgage mountain is the real deal. Amy Real, give her a call. Let her help you reach your mortgage goals. She's the real deal, and tell her you were quotivated to get it done. Thanks, Amy.
This has been a shot of motivation from America's leading emerging speaker, Jody Powell. We hope it helps you win your week.
All right, let's get to our special guest this week. Mark Smith has been an athlete for most of his life. He had aspirations of being a major league pitcher and was set to report to spring training for the Atlanta Braves before injury brought that to a halt. Mark turned his athletic ability to the world of professional wrestling, working for promotions like the AWA, the NWA, Florida Championship Wrestling, and making it to the big leagues in World Championship Wrestling. However, the lifestyle of a wrestler took its toll. In his book, Wrestling with Demons, Mark writes about his career, the pros he worked with, and the success he experienced. But at the same time, Mark says his ego began to grow, as did his self-loathing, lack of conscience, self-esteem, and prejudice. When his wife of 3 years, who was pregnant at the time, walked out on him, he said he stopped to reflect on his life. Fast forward to today, and having been saved from a 20-year prison term, being given a new family, Mark saw God moving. He now teaches others about God's love and how to find peace. He's currently writing his next book, Wrestling with God, and wants to share his story with anyone willing to listen. Welcome to the Quotivation Podcast, Mark Smith. Mark, how are you, buddy?
Man, I am good. Where I'm from, they say you're finer than a frog's hair. So I'm okay. And we're doing great. I'm sitting in the land of IKEA. Ooh. You know, it's Swedish, a Swedish company. So therefore, I would have to go and pay a lot of money to fly overseas and to, you know, experience Sweden. Well, I'm afraid after my wife's shopping, I probably would have been cheaper by paying for the airfare. So, but we're doing okay, brother. Got three of our 8 kids with us, and we're just having a good time visiting some family. And but one of my highlights of this trip is most definitely, brother, being with you. Well, so Mark, I thank you very much.
Oh, Mark, man, I tell you what, I am so excited to have you on. I have been looking forward to this conversation. I'm a huge fan of professional wrestling. Anyone that knows me knows that. And it's really something that's special in my life. Not, you know, what I love about professional wrestling is not the storytelling or the drama or the male soap opera aspect or even the athleticism, which is incredible. What I love about professional wrestling is that my grandmother got me into professional wrestling when I was about 6 years old. And, you know, she was one of these rabid, diehard wrestling fans that pulled for the good guy and hated the bad guy and believed all of the drama and all of the stuff that went on between the two wrestlers was real. You know, she's the little old lady behind the rail on the first rope, ready to hit the bad guy upside the head with an umbrella or something. And she got me started in professional wrestling. I had an aunt who, she loved wrestling. And you know, I remember one time in middle school, we went to see the Great American Bash. I took her to see that. And I walked away with bruises on my arm because every time the bad guys would cheat, she'd turn around, she'd beat me on the arm. Oh, I can't believe they did that. But yeah, man, I'm a huge fan, and I'm sure you have a ton of incredible stories about being on the road and being in the business. But I want to start with you telling us a little bit about your book, Wrestling with Demons. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Let us know who Mark Smith is and what we can expect when we order Wrestling with Demons from Amazon by Mark and Brenda Smith. So, Mark, tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. Well, first off, the title of the book, Wrestling with Demons. In a sense, we all wrestle with demons of some kind. It can be fear itself, it can be hatred. And I think today in society, we're seeing that hatred all over the place. People getting pulled out of cars, beaten. I mean, my God, kids going to school now, you have to wonder, are they going to become home safely? Are they going to even come home?
Right.
And going through all that, our society is wrestling with demons. Now, that is how I got the title. About myself, grew up broken home. I had a stepfather who was taking between 20 and 25 Percodan and Percocet a day.
Oh,
So
wow.
I've seen heavy addiction. My father himself, my biological father, was beaten by chains as a child, never talked about it. So therefore, it was never processed. And so I remember the last time I was hit with his fist, and I remember when he cold cocked me in the jaw. And a lot of kids don't experience that, but there were times that I loved him, there were times that I hated him. But I did not understand that. I did not understand that processing is the key. And the book, to me, is my understanding and processing. But and it's kind of a how-to. It's telling people, hey, I understand those uglies, if you want to call them that, that are in your heart, in your soul, in your mind, those triggers that just basically drive you up the wall or drive you to do something that you ordinarily wouldn't do. So that's what we get into in this. But coming from the broken home, it was a thing where my foundation was not there. My mom did a great job with me. I appreciate her very much. I saw her yesterday, in fact. But if we don't have a foundation, we're in a lot of trouble. Number one, we don't know who we are. If we don't know who we are, we don't know what we like and dislike, and we're not comfortable within our own skin. I loved baseball because it got me away from being Mark into being a baseball player. And as we get further into the talk, I'll tell you the worst mistake I've ever made in my life, that being going from Mark Smith, a guy who wrestles, to the wrestler Mark Smith. So I hope that kind of gives you a little bit of insight.
It does. It does. And I want to dig in a little bit on that because that's a really interesting concept. I think a lot of time you talk about identity and we
Oh,
have an
yeah.
identity crisis. So many people just really, as you mentioned, not having that foundation can lead to just a lack of self identity and self-awareness. And so I believe there's an identity crisis in the world. And
Right.
then talking about going from Mark Smith, the wrestler, to the wrestler, Mark Smith. And I think a lot of people, no matter what industry, no matter what job you have, when we have a lack of self-awareness, a lack of self-identity, we tend to put that into what we do.
Right.
And it's fun. It's like the first question when you meet someone, oh, what do you do? Well, that's not the most important thing about me is my job or my title.
Right.
There's so many more things that I could tell you about me that than what I do. It's more about who I am. So tell me a little bit more about Mark Smith, the wrestler, versus the wrestler, Mark Smith.
Yeah. The wrestler, I'm sorry, Mark Smith, the guy who wrestles, was a guy that was still lost, as you said. I really didn't have an identity. The only thing I knew or understood was that my self-worth was dependent upon success. So naturally, going from this small town over here working against Billy Joe Jim Bob, and all of a sudden I'm in the ring with the Road Warriors or Ric Flair or Even The Undertaker, he was Mean Mark Callis back then. And Stunning Steve Austin, of course, became later Stone Cold Steve Austin, the Junkyard Dog, I mean, the Freebirds. And so I try to carry on the wisdom from the great guys that a lot of the great guys I worked with. I'm a lost guy, don't know what the heck. I don't even know my purpose. All I know is I can get in that ring and I can work my tail off. The bad thing is the only thing I knew was I could get in that ring and work my tail off.
There's not a wrestling ring at home. There's not a you don't get in the wrestling ring when you're dealing with your family or your wife or your spouse. And so that transition has to be really difficult and really put you in a position where I don't know how to move forward in this.
That's true. When I hit my lowest point, I had been married to a young lady for 3 years. Great lady. But I was the one not prepared to really give into a relationship. Again, I don't think I understood unconditional love. I mean, if you can understand unconditional love and you're getting married, you might as well go ahead and start signing the divorce papers because that's what's coming next, right?
Right.
And so with this, I'd walked in on a tr off of a tr coming in from a trip. She says, "I'm leaving." Something was very strange. I got in a car, I drove for a few minutes, came back, and there she is, very composed, everything. And I'm thinking, my God, what's going on here? And I thought, who am I really to ask her to stay? I'm the one that's run her off.
Wow.
I mean, in my book, Wrestling with Demons, I've had a lot of people ask me, Mark, who, if you have to say, there's a bad guy in your movie, in your film, in your book. Who is it? I mean, who caused all this? Me. That happens. Then I turn around and I get a call to come to the local sheriff's office, and they've got stacks of tapes of me talking with other people, and we're talking about steroids. Well, all you have to do is mention one other person's name and they're going to nail you for distribution. That's where my 20 years was going to come in. The sheriff who called me asked the gentleman from the Georgia Bureau of Investigation to, "Can you, gentlemen, can you excuse us for a minute?" He said, "Mark, I don't know everything they have, but I know this. They're talking a big sentence. I've heard 20." I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Here's a pen and a pad. Knowing you and knowing your family, I don't think you've been in this very much." I said, "Well, no, sir, not really." He said, "You better write everything you know, son. You better write it all." And it wasn't really a whole lot. I mean, I knew when I handed this to him, I knew I was going to serve my 20 because it wasn't enough, but it's what I knew. Well, he calls the other man in from the GBI. He says, "Gentlemen, I've known his family. I've known him for a long time. And he's being honest, and everything on this paper is honest. You wouldn't serve anybody or the public any good by locking him up." And so that's what happened.
How
You can tell
affirming.
I'm in IKEA, can't you? Do you hear that?
I think it said something like, Mark Smith, your wife has a large order that we're going to have to deliver to
Okay, you'll have the first death ever on your show because I'm going to fall over with a heart attack, okay?
house.
But
Well,
That's how it happened. Then I know that's also going to end my career in pro wrestling. So that kid that grew up getting knocked around a little bit, no identity. After baseball, no identity. I don't know who I am. And finally, I don't know who I am again. And I finally raised my fist up. I did. I raised my fist up to heaven. And I said, "Look, big boy, it's time you and I get stuff straight. You want me to talk to you? Yeah, I'll talk to you." And I told him what I thought about him.
Well, I think that so I have so many questions coming off that story. So the first thing is how reaffirming was it to, I would imagine like that's one of the few times to have someone actually speak up on your behalf based on your childhood for to have this law officer come in and say, "Gentlemen, this I've known this man, I've known this family. You do no good service by locking him up." Was that reaffirming for you? Did that contribute to kind of this reflection and understanding that, hey, maybe this person that I don't know who he is, maybe he has some value here?
It's number one, it happened very quickly. It was like, call me one day, come to the office the next day. Okay. Thankful, yes, most definitely. I did not walk out of there cocky thinking that I'd gotten away with something. At the same point, if you're lost going into that, you're also lost coming out of it still. There were good points, but the law, the loss, the not knowing really who you are, I still walked out with more questions that I had than I had answers. And so that's when me and him started having, I'm writing the book Wrestle with God because we did wrestle.
So this is interesting, Mark. I want to fast forward because you talk about how you came to that point where you shook your fist and you were having it out with God. You were wrestling with God. You got through that. You came out on the other side, understanding, being changed, having found peace, having found your loving wife, having now a family. We fast forward 10, 15, 20 years. How do you keep that in mind? How do you keep that in perspective? What is it that you're rooted to? What is all this based on?
I was talking to somebody on a show the other day, and I reverted back to the show, the story about the three little pigs. And they said, "Oh," they cut me off and they said, "You build your house with bricks." I said, "Actually, that's not where I'm going." They said, "Well, tell me then. I'm curious. Now you're surprising me. Where are you going?" I said, "No matter what those houses were made out of, the fact is if they would have been on a firm foundation, more than likely they would have withstood the wind." And so today, to the listeners, I want to ask, what is your foundation? Look, we are all frail. We are all going to leave this earth at some point. It's just some of us have the locations may be different than for some of us. But what is your foundation? What is your foundation built on? Now, I can tell you from a Christian standpoint, when I say my foundation's on God, that means remember, God is love. So my foundation stands on love. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. My relationship, foundation is on Jesus as well. And you go, "Mark, how can you do? You like the way I'm doing your job asking these
I
questions? Ain't that
love it.
good?"
This is fantastic. It's the best interview I've ever done.
I'm sorry.
No, keep going, man. Preach
But people ask and they go, "You mean you're going to put your whole foundation on something that's just faith and there's no proof?" No proof? Wait a minute. Wait a minute. No proof. All right, let's hit this real fast on the no proof. The Bible has been the most critiqued book ever written. It has helped straighten out calendars. It has helped fulfill the increments in history that we didn't know about. And the writings of Tacitus and Lucian, Josephus, some of these people were not Christian. They were not trying to push a faith.
That's
they
right.
were actually just pure historians. These people had no reason, unless it was true, to talk about this.
Right.
And then when you have that kind of evidence, and then you turn around and you realize that religion basically ran the government. The religion hated Jesus. No telling how many people died when they came back and were killed when they came back and said, "We've looked all over, we cannot find a body." Because the people, the leaders were PO'd.
Yeah.
But now, here's mine. Not, believe it or not, I've even got a bigger reason or more proof personally than the story so far to you. We've got 8 kids, 5 adopted, 3 biological. My one boy that's biological, his name is Austin. He was born in Texas. I was doing business in Dallas on the way home to Marshall, Texas, which is about a 2-hour drive east. And Brenda calls me. "Hey, what's going on?" Mark, you got to come. You got to come. What's going on? "We're in an ambulance. You got to come." "Brenda, what's up?" Austin started turning blue with bruises. They get him up to Children's Hospital, which is a part of Parkland, okay?
Yep.
So that helps you know. We're talking the JFK stuff, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We get there. The doctors come out shaking their heads. They say, "There's nothing we can do." "Well, what's going on?" "We've tried every coagulant possible. He has stopped bleeding for a moment. But when we took his blood... his blood did not have a platelet in it. He was bleeding out from the inside."
Oh.
So for the next few months, we are actually taking him to our local hospital, as well as doing trips to Dallas, where they're testing his blood weekly. And there's nothing. There's nothing they can do. Finally, they call us, "Mr. and Ms. Smith, we need to talk to you about something." And Brenda and I are thinking, my God, they're telling us how much time he's got left. Because he literally, we had to put knee pads on him, elbow pads. They told us if he had a scratch, he would bleed out.
Wow.
Because he had no platelets.
Right, right.
Well, they said something has happened. "Okay. Yeah, doctor. Just give it to us. This last blood test, I can't even remember offhand." This is what the doctor said. "How many tests he's had?" We said, "Well, he's probably had at least, what, a dozen to 15? He said, "Yeah, probably up around there. Might even be up closer to 20. But we came in and we tested this new batch of blood, and "Mr. and Ms. Smith, overnight, millions and millions of platelets appeared in his blood."
Wow.
"We've never seen it here at this hospital, but I mean, the only thing we can do is call it a miracle."
Yeah, that's what it was.
So, you know, now... you know, some people can say my life's a miracle the way it went. My fighting, wrestling with God, where I was brought to. But see, I've even got more logic than that because I saw it happen to my own son.
Yeah.
And when you take that and the other stuff we talked about at first, let me ask you, wouldn't it take more faith for me not to believe and put my foundation on God and Jesus?
That's exactly right.
People work so hard to discredit stuff when really it's not that they're driven to prove something wrong. They're just simply afraid of change. Because psychologists and sociologists both say that the one thing that stresses an individual out the most is change.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt.
So, if you accept, if you've grown up and now you're starting to understand stuff about this Jesus, hey man, that's a big change.
It's huge. It's a huge
And so,
change.
yeah. And so for the listeners, for you out there, I hope I compel you. I don't want you to do anything because it's simply I say it. That's not what this is about. This is about where we live in a world and it's so negative. With the right foundation, a lot of those negatives become positives. I made a guy at Walmart cry the other day. I mean, seriously, he was a new greeter, right? And I said, "You remind me of Sam Walton." And he laughed and cut up. And he said, "Yeah, I actually drive an old beat up pickup truck too." And I said, "Well, I'll tell you what, brother. Walking in here, it feels like Sam Walton's in here greeting, saying hello. You make my day every day I walk in here." He rubbed his eyes. He said, "Brother, I sure do appreciate that." And now he hugs me when I go into Walmart. But something so simple, and look, it's a lot easier to love than hate.
It is.
Hate shortens your life. And hate promises you two things. That is, you're still going to die. You're going to die miserable, and then you're going to die alone. That's what it boils down to. Now, this is just an old country boy wrestler talking, but this is what it boils down to.
Well, it's an old country boy wrestler spitting facts and speaking truth. And it ties so well with the quote that you sent to me. So,
Yes.
Mark, tell me about the quote. What is the quote and what does it mean to you? And a lot of what it means to you, you've probably already told us. So tell us about this
Yeah,
quote.
sure. It's very simple. I mean, I didn't have to talk to Einstein or anybody like that to come up with it. He does have good hair though, but
He
not, that's
does.
beside the point. The quote, "God does not make junk." And yeah, it really ties into me because there was a point in my life where I saw myself as a waste of humanity. Why am I taking up somebody else's oxygen? I don't deserve anything. I'm just lost. I'm lost and I'm having my own pity party, and there's nothing nobody can say, and I'm just going to get old and miserable if I live long enough to get old. But then you turn around and you think about this. You and I have not known each other long at all, and it's like we're brothers. We could sit down and have a cup of coffee, couldn't we, and
Definitely.
laugh ourselves to death.
Without a doubt.
You turn around. And these relate now you turn around and you're making relationships and love, and people are coming to you and then they're walking away thinking, "Gosh, it's not as bad as what I thought." People are willing to work on their relationships. People are willing to allow God. Notice I didn't say they work on themselves. They allow God to tweak a few things. And it will happen naturally. So you'll notice the way you see something, you don't look at it that way anymore. Or it's like you're having these epiphanies of, "Oh my gosh, there is another way of looking at this." And so God does not make junk. Even these people that are in these cities pulling people out of cars and beating them, we don't know what they've been confronted with.
That's right.
But I can guarantee you they are wrestling with internal demons, fear, hatred, greed. And you know what? The biggest, toughest people may be the most afraid ones, really, when you
Yeah,
boil it down.
very
But
true.
they're not junk, and I can tell you why. A fellow named Tony Lynch and I, we're like brothers from another mother, just like a lot of us are here, me and you. But Tony was big into the gang scene in Chicago. He was one of the leaders. And today, he's a peacemaker. And he and I check on each other, and we got some ventures we're going to be going out and doing together. But there's a lot of Tony Lynches in this world
For sure.
that, if they can be exposed to honest to God, some good news, just maybe they'll realize there's a fork in the road and they can take the other way. For the audience, I think now you said, what does it mean to me, to the audience? When in a wrestling ring, if I'm in there with someone and I've never really worked with them before, I have no idea how the match is going to go. I don't know if it's going to be smooth. I don't know if he's going to try to potato me. I don't know if I'm going to have to give him a receipt or whatever the case may be. I don't have any idea. Yet, when we get in the ring into a collar elbow, we clinch up and we start working each other. Now, all of a sudden, we understand because we're actually wrestling at that point. It's okay to ask God your questions.
Yes.
If he couldn't handle it, there'd be no reason for me to worship him. But he can handle it. He can have it handle your toughest criticism. And he's willing to do it. He doesn't shy away from it.
Right.
And what you'll find out is if you'll wrestle with him, if you'll go collar and elbow and really try to get to know him and see how he's working with you, and he wants to see how you're working with him. Are you going to talk to him? Are you going to believe? Are you going to let him in? Or are you just going to kind of short arm and try to give him a little bit? He don't want a little bit. He wants the whole thing. He wants the whole barrel of trash, and he'll clean it up. You don't have to worry about it anymore. Time wise, I don't know where we're at, but if you got any more questions or whatever, I'm happy to answer.
I've got 1,000 more questions, but we are just about out of time.
That worked out great, didn't it?
999 of my questions have to do with everyone that you work with in the world of professional wrestling. So we'll take that offline and
Have
you and
me
I can
back.
have it. We'll have a cup of coffee and I want to hear all of the stories about all of my heroes
There you go.
and one of my new heroes in wrestling who is now Mark Smith. Mark,
Oh man, you're too kind.
normally I ask you how our listeners could win their week with the quote and your quote of God does not make junk, but you've answered that question. And it's not even about winning your week. That's my thing. I love for my
Right.
audience to win their week, to find inspiration, to do things that move them toward their goals. This is more than winning your week. This is winning your life.
Right.
And
Amen, man.
winning your life is realizing that God didn't make no junk. And we are all here for a reason and a purpose, and he will instill a passion for you to find your purpose.
That's right.
And that's the story that you have in wrestling with demons and wrestling with God, which I now I'm going to Amazon and I'm buying the one and I'm waiting for the other because
Well,
I
thank you,
want to hear
brother.
more. I want to hear more about that. But Mark, this has been fantastic. Thank you for your time.
Hey.
Thanks for taking time out of shopping at IKEA I hope we haven't kept you too long. I hope the credit card debt has not been raised through the roof.
I see an 18-wheeler backing up, and I'm sweating profusely
yeah,
right now.
Yeah, right. I hope that's not coming to my house. But in all seriousness, Mark, thank you so much for being on. Your message is powerful. Your quote is even more powerful, and your God is the most powerful. So thank you for Amen. Your time.
Thank you, man. I love you, brother. Thank you.
And that was Mark Smith. Mark, thank you so much again for being on the Quotivation Podcast. If you want to check out Mark's book, go to Amazon, search for Wrestling with Demons. It's an amazing book. I've already started reading it. I got it just a couple of days ago. I am just incredibly moved by the story of Mark Smith and the transformation and the change that has happened in his life. And you heard the stories and you heard how the change came about, and you heard that powerful quote, God does not make junk. We're going to talk about that on the other side. So why don't you stick around, because it is time for a little dessert. It's time for the last slice of cheesecake.
How about some dessert before you go? There isn't anything that can't be solved over a slice of cheesecake. So before we wrap things up, sit back, relax, and enjoy the last slice of cheesecake.
You know, on the surface, after listening to this episode of the Quotivation Podcast, you may think, well, this is one of those religious episodes. And depending on where you are and what you believe, that may interest you, it may not. And that's okay. But I would argue that it's not just one of those religious episodes. The quote from Mark Smith, God does not make junk. It applies to whether you are a Christian, Muslim, Hindu, atheist, doesn't matter. Because the meaning behind it is still applicable. It's still relevant to you winning your week. Because as human beings, we tend to have those self-destructive thoughts, those self-deprecating thoughts, the thoughts that I'm not good enough. I don't deserve to be where I am. I'm not worthy. I don't have the qualifications. I don't have the education. I have imposter syndrome. Someone's going to find out that I'm really not qualified to be here. All of those thoughts, all of those lies, all of those things that rattle around in our mind are created in our mind. Because whether you believe that God created the universe, whether you believe in the Big Bang Theory, or whether you believe in evolution, whatever you believe in, at the end of the day, you are not junk. You have the power, the strength, the knowledge, the ability to create awesome things in this world, to be an awesome person, to have a powerful, awesome influence on someone else. So see, this isn't necessarily a message of just Christian religion. It's a message about who you are. It's a message about what you're capable of. It's a message to say, stop putting yourself down. Stop thinking that you're not enough. I am enough. You are enough. And sometimes it feels like we're not enough because the world will just continue to pound on us and beat us down. And it feels like we can't handle it. It feels like I can't take anymore. I can't go back to that job again. I just can't. But the fact of the matter is, we have as much influence on the surroundings that we are in as anyone else. Our mindset, our thoughts, the people that we choose to associate with, the reactions we choose to have to certain situations, all influence how we feel about the situations that we're in. And if we're able to change our mindset, if we're able to have a positive outlook, if we're able to change it from I don't want to I get to, if we're able to change it from I would, but to I will because. Those are the things that create positive influence around us. Those are the things that you're capable of. Those are the things that are going to help you realize that God doesn't make junk. Mark said a couple of things that I thought were really powerful, and I just want to recap those. The first thing that he said that really spoke to me is, it is a lot easier to love than hate. Hate shortens your life. Hate promises you two things, because we're all going to die, whether we express love or hate. But hate promises you two things. You're going to die miserable, and you're going to die alone. Now, why is that the case? Now, you could argue that there are people that together spew hate, that misery loves company, that those miserable people come together. So maybe you wouldn't die alone. Maybe you'd be. Maybe you would die with someone who had the same viewpoint as you, or felt the same hatred that you feel. I would argue that you're still alone, because in the absence of love, there's loneliness. You can be surrounded by 100 people and still be alone and still feel lonely. It's not about who you're surrounded by. It's not about who wants to be around you. You're going to die miserable and alone, because that is what hate breeds. That's what it brings. That's how it makes you feel. When we think about it, when we're angry, and you know, you can take any example, but let's take the example of road rage. Why can't everybody just drive as good as I can? Why can't people just understand the roads of the rules, the rules of the road the way that I do? Do you see what happens there? You isolate yourself. You are the only one. And in this case, you're lifting yourself above everyone else. But when you do that, when you lift yourself above everyone, guess what you are? You're alone. And you may think you're on top and it's lonely at the top, and that's the truth. But I'm going to tell you something else. Where you actually are is you're on the bottom, and it's even lonelier there. So you could die surrounded by 100 people that maybe they feel the same way that you do, but I guarantee you, you're going to feel alone if your heart's full of hate. Hate shortens your life and promises two things. You're going to die miserable and alone. But see, we don't have to give in to that. We don't have to create that ending for our lives. We have the power, the ability, and I believe deep down the desire to reverse that. You know, some people will say that the opposite of love is not hate. The opposite of love is indifference. Well, the opposite of hate absolutely is love. And if you can turn that 180 from hate to love, you won't die alone. You'll be surrounded by people that share the love that you have in your heart for them as they have for you. And you certainly won't be miserable. God does not make junk. So much easier to smile than to frown. You are capable. You are able to make a powerful impact on the people that are around you if you just get out of your own way. Remove yourself from your line of sight so that you can see others and have an impact on them. It's not even about you. It's about how you impact others. God does not make junk. A powerful message from a powerful man, an athlete, professional wrestler, man of God, a man who has seen the demon, has wrestled the demon, and with the help of God has overcome the demon. So I want to thank Mark Smith. I would encourage you to check out his book, Wrestling with Demons. And I can't wait for his second book, Wrestling with God. I'm sure it's going to be a powerful story. I hope you found something this week that's going to help you win your week. I hope you realize the power that you have to impact those around you, that you are enough, that you are capable, that you are powerful, and that you're awesome. You say, how do you know that? You don't even know who you're talking to. You don't even know who's listening to this. I know. I know because of our quote today. Because quite frankly, God does not make junk. So go out today. Go out this week. Realize that you have the power to overcome any challenge, any obstacle, anything that's put in your way. You have the power to overcome it in a powerful way that impacts and influences everyone around you. And that'll help you win your week. That's all the time we have for the Quotivation Podcast. I want to thank Mark Smith for an amazing story. I want to thank Amy Real, the real deal in all things mortgage. And I want to thank you for listening. Until next time, stay quotivated.
You have been listening to the Quotivation Podcast, hosted by America's leading emerging speaker, Jody Powell. If you would like to book Jody to speak at your company, conference, or next event, visit www.jodypowellspeaks.com. You can also email him at Jody, that's J-O-D-Y, at jodypowellspeaks.com. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe to the Quotivation Podcast. And remember, stay quotivated.